turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Book of Revelation, chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word and the encouragement that you give us. Lord, throughout your word, of all the crowns and the gifts that you want to give us, we pray, my Father, that we would take thy word and that we would not only be hearers but also doers of your word. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this meeting, bless this lesson. I pray you apply it to our hearts. We pray that you would also bless the coming service, the preaching, and we just pray that above all things, Lord, that you receive all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, because only thou art worthy. We thank you, and we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, last time that I was teaching on the crowns, and of course, you know that there are 5 crowns in the Bible. I have already taught on the incorruptible crown, as well as on the crown of rejoicing. And this morning I'm going to be teaching on the crown of life. This is also the one that's called the martyr's crown. But I had never studied it until now that I'm going to read about it, or teach rather. And I had always read it throughout the years, but like most people, we just pass through things like this, so many things in the Bible, and I had never really read it. I would hear many times commentators or different teachers like Clarence Larkins, who is one that I like a lot. He's a very godly man who wrote several books, and he was very accurate on many things. On most things, and he's the one that called it the martyr's crown, and all through my Christian life, I've been calling it the martyr's crown, and I have even made the comment that I wouldn't mind getting 4 of the crowns, but I don't mind skipping this one, and because I looked at it as you have to die to get this one. Well, after studying it real closely, I'm going to be giving you 2 possibilities, what I really believe now what it is, and I'm going to back it up with Scripture. There's only 2 verses in the Bible that refer to this crown. First is here on Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, that I read to you. The other one is going to be in the book of James, chapter 1, and I'll get to that later. And you will see some of the difference that I'm going to be pointing out. But first of all, let me remind you, and I had already mentioned some of this in the other previous studies, or just refresh your memory, the importance of the crowns. Some people think that they don't want to concentrate or think about that. They come up with a self-righteous attitude that, I just want to serve God, and I've heard it many times. The thing is that God puts a lot of emphasis in this. He talks about rewards, and he talks about crowns, and he talks all the way from Genesis to Revelation. To God, they are important. You might look at it as maybe they're like bonuses or extra rewards. You know, I don't know, but the Lord has put him in the Scriptures. And so he does tell us quite a bit about rewards. And of course, there's many verses in the Old Testament. Last time I read several. You'll find it in Genesis, in Psalms, in the book of Isaiah, and over and over. And then you get into the New Testament, and you see it quite a bit. that God will bring His rewards. He will give them to His saints at the judgment seat of Christ. That's when He takes us up. We will be judged. And of course, at the same time, there's a lot of people that will not get any. They will be saved, yet so is by fire, the Bible says. And there's going to be a judgment, a fiery indignation. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews. It's talking about Christians. When you read the book of Hebrews, it's talking to Christians. And there's some that he says that it's going to be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But he also says God will judge His people. And for some of them, it's going to be bad news. The thing is that a lot of them will lose a lot of their rewards and their crowns. And that's one of the things that the Bible does warn you, and I just want to read to you that, because to me it's very important. It says in 2 John chapter 1, verse 8, I'm going to read it to you. He says, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Look to yourselves, that you don't lose rewards. In other words, God has already assigned them to you, but because of the way you live and the things you do, the choices you make, there will be a lot of Christians that will lose their rewards. And then it also says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, he says, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." In other words, what he's telling us here is that you can lose rewards as well as crowns. You can lose them. It says in here that no man take thy crown. That means men can take it away. Men can entice you. Men can allure you. Men can seduce you. And they can get you into sin. They can get you into drugs. They can get you into pornography. They can get you into adultery and idolatry. And in every kind of sin. In other words, be careful that nobody, no man, takes away your crown. That's what the Bible says. You can be lured back into the world. Even though you were saved, many times Christians go back to the world. And they will lose rewards, and they will lose crowns. And of course, some of them will even renounce their faith. I've seen people even say those same things. They have told me that they call on the Lord, and they got on their knees, and it looked so real, so good. They were calling and trusting in the Lord. But then later on, they go back to the world and they go back to drinking and back to all the things they used to do. And then they say, "I renounce what I believed. I don't want nothing to do with the Lord." Now, maybe they never got saved. Maybe it was just a call from their lips and not from the heart. But the Bible does talk about backsliders. And he says about not going back. And of course, in Hebrews 10, it talks about people who sin willfully. It's talking about Christians. And that they will face a judgment of fiery indignation. That's about Christians on verse 27, chapter 10. And then he says that the Lord shall judge His people, it says on verse 30. So we do have where the Lord talks about those that will draw back. So what he's telling us here is hold fast thou which thou hast. You don't want to be losing your crowns. He says, and also let me just say something else. The crowns are really not for you. Some people think, well, I'm not too interested. It's just like you're going to be in heaven bragging and because you got 5 crowns on your head. I don't think so. The thing is that the reason you get the crowns is so you can cast them at the Savior's feet. That's what the Christians and the elders and the saints are going to do. The shame of it all will be if you have nothing to cast. And here you got so many people that went through so much things in their life, and they're casting all their crowns, maybe even 5, maybe 4, maybe 3. And it will be a shame if we're there and we claim to have been a tremendously good church and you have nothing to cast. And that will be embarrassing. You know, many times people say that you can't give nothing to God because He has everything. He owns the cattle in a thousand hills and there's nothing you can give, but you can give your crowns. You get the crowns, but they are to give back to God. In another place in the Bible, before I start going into Revelation 10, the last one, is where the Lord talks about a man He called a fool because he was rich in the things of this world. But then God also calls him a fool, and He says, and if to anyone that is not rich towards God. In other words, you didn't do anything. You got saved, and you went back to the world. You were so busy accumulating wealth in this world, but you didn't do anything for the Lord. You're not going to get any rewards. You didn't get none of the crowns. God calls that man a fool. And this is something that I don't want to be called a fool. In this world, anybody can call me, that's okay. But not by God. We don't want to be called fools by God, but that's what God does, and that's what He says to anyone that is not rich towards God. You'll find that in Luke chapter 12, verses 20 through 21. But let's go to Revelation 2:10, where I started. This is only one of two verses that speaks about the crown of life. This is the one also known as the martyr's crown. And of course, there are many people that have called it like that. I look into the internet just for the sake of it. I punched in what is the martyr's crown, and you had all kinds of people, all kinds of opinions, and they were all confused. They're all blending them all together, and it was really weird. But the thing is that a lot of people have heard of the martyr's crown. And of course, this is the one that I have always said, I really don't care to get it. But after studying this one, let me just tell you, I think I was mistaken. Now after reading real closely and going through every single word trying to check other verses, and of course, it doesn't really matter who says anything. It don't matter whether it's somebody who knew the Bible very well, whether he was well known or a nobody that nobody knows. The thing is that if it's not in the Scriptures, it doesn't really matter. God is not a respecter of persons. So it doesn't matter what man says. What matters is what God says. And five times in the Bible, you'll find that the Apostle Paul and Peter, both of them say that God is not a respecter of persons. He wants to make that very clear. So I want you to notice, first of all, on Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the first thing I want to point out to you is the first part where he says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." You know, the thing is that if you read all the seven churches, they all were going to suffer. They all were going to be tried. They all were going to go through tribulations. And all of them are being told, "He that overcometh." You'll find that message to every church, "He that overcometh." They got things to overcome. Every single one, however you want to interpret it, whether it's throughout the ages, or whether it's all the seven churches at that time, or any which way that you want to interpret, or even right now, if we got those seven churches right now, they all have things to overcome. We all have things to overcome. We're all tried. And that's what the Bible does tell us. So what he says is that thou shalt suffer, but he says don't fear. And that's what he's telling us here. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You are going to suffer. Christians have always suffered. A lot of them have been killed. And even right now we have Christians that are suffering. And maybe here in America we don't see it that often, but we know that in other countries, because of the television and the internet and so many things, we see where people are being killed, they're being thrown in jail, they're being told that they're going to execute them, just like that brother in Iran. So we see here that some will suffer, but the Lord says, don't fear. Now, I know that's easier said than done. I know many people claim that they're very macho and that they will never back down, but I have seen very macho men back down. The thing is, we never know, and I don't know, and you don't know how you're going to react at any given time. And that's been my prayer. Lord, grant me that courage to stand whatever comes my way. Not that I'm dependent on myself, because I'll fall flat real quickly. But I'm dependent on the Lord to give me that grace to go through whatever I have to go through. I don't want to embarrass my Lord. Also, he goes on to say on this verse, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. This means some of you means that not everyone will go to prison. That means that only some will. So this is not a prerequisite to get in this particular crown. Some will be cast into prison and some will not. And when you look at the saints in the scriptures, you see that some were cast into prison, but some were not. You see where Jeremiah was in prison. You see John the Baptist was in prison. You see Paul was in prison. Peter was in prison. But then you see also Moses was not in prison. Neither was David. Neither was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Neither, and of course, Joseph was. So we see some will be thrown in prison. But this is not a requisite. This is not a requirement to those who will get their crown of life. But what he's saying is, don't fear, some of you will. And throughout history, some have. And even in the time to come, in the future to come, some probably will. I believe that a lot of what's being spoken here is going to be for the tribulation saints. But but here is one of the requirements, and the one that really causes a lot of questions, where he says at the end, be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. And this is where many people go astray. Many people have different beliefs. And when you read, you find that that many people believe that it's only for those that are being executed, that are those that are being killed. And then there are those who don't believe that. And I'm going to show you both ways. I believe that it's actually both ways. But I'm going to show you, first of all, what the Bible says. When he says, be faithful unto death, let me break it down first. Be faithful unto. Unto is very important. Because unto, when you look it up in the concordance, and I looked up this particular word at this particular place, not throughout the whole Bible, but just right here, what did the concordance had to say? And it said, unto means till. Unto means up to. Unto means as far as. Unto means until. And it refers to a space of time. That's the Strong's Concordance. That's what it says here. Let me go a little further. Be thou faithful unto death. When I looked up death right here on this verse, according to the Strong's Concordance, he says that be thou faithful unto death until you die, or until you're dead. You know, that's the Strong's Concordance. What I want to show you and tell you is that notice that this verse, be thou faithful unto death, does not say be thou faithful until you're killed. It doesn't say be thou faithful until you're beheaded. It doesn't say be thou faithful until you're stoned, or until you're roasted like a wiener, whatever you want to say. The thing is that it does not say those things. Be thou faithful unto death, until you die, is what it's saying. Be thou faithful until you are dead. Now, the thing is that the Bible in this particular verse can be very easily be also said that it's also for martyrs. It could be, Clarence Larkins says that this pertained to the tribulation saints. And this is something that I had also many times have said. And I'd like to take you to the book of Revelation chapter 6. Let me read to you what he says on chapter 6, verse 10. He says, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled." So the saints during the tribulation will be killed. The Bible says in Revelation 20 that they will be beheaded. That's why I tell many times I tell people, look, you need to get saved right now in the time of grace. Because those that will get saved during the tribulation, it will be at the expense of their necks. This is the only way. They will be offered to take the mark of the beast on their hand or on their forehead. And if they don't take it, then they will be executed. And of course, when you take it, what you're doing is you're bowing down to the image. You're agreeing with Satan. You're recanting and renouncing and disavowing anything that has to do with God, that has to do with Jesus. So you will be beheaded. And what he's saying here, that all of them that are getting saved, according to this verse, they're all crying out for vengeance. But God is saying, just hold on a little longer. Wait until the rest of your servants, the rest of your brethren, until they're all killed the same way you were. Now, when we compare that and look back to Revelation, where he says, be thou faithful unto death, it's very easy to say, okay, this is applying only to the tribulation saints, that they will get that crown of glory, that the crown of life, rather, that it will be it's actually the martyr's crown, and that they will all get it. But on the other hand, I was trying to show you that when he said that you were going to be tried and be thou faithful unto death, it could mean until you're killed, or it could mean until you just die. Now, I will prove that, or rather give you that other view when I go into the book of James, because James doesn't mention anything about dying. It mentions several other things, and I will be bringing those out. But one of the things that I see is that God is not very pleased with backsliders, who those who turn back. And that's what the Bible does tell you. He says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, he says, "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." So God wants you to make it all the way to the end. He wants you to be faithful all the way until you die. How you die is really not relevant. Now, if you die because you were executed and you didn't recant, you get that crown of life. But even for those who went all the way to the end, and we have many saints, they never were executed. They died of old age. They died at a good old age, the Bible says. But they were faithful all the way to the end, and that's what God is looking for. He says, my soul will not have any pleasure on those that draw back. So what it means is be faithful unto death. It means that you don't recant, you don't disavow. And let me read to you now what it says in the book of Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. here is talking about, the previous verses to that, is talking about all the things that Christians have gone through, especially in the early centuries. There were so, you read history, and you see where so many Christians were either crucified, or they were burned at the stake, or they were fed to the lions, or they were tortured, and then they received so many. You read about the Inquisition, which they've destroyed most of the books, but you still get to read a little bit about that, and you find where a lot of Christians have suffered throughout the ages. And here is recorded. God already knew this would happen, and look what it says on verse 35. It says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. This sounds to me like they had been given that option because of the things that I have read, the history that I have read, where they were told constantly, just like the brother in Iran right now who has been told to recant, and he says, no, I will not. So he's supposed to be in the process where they want to execute him. But I looked into it last night. I looked into the internet to see if he had, and there's nothing written anymore. They've been keeping it real quiet. I don't know whether he's been executed or not. If they do, I'm sure they're not going to let nobody know. Everybody was upset with that, or at least some people. But the thing is that sometimes Christians throughout history have been told, you either renounce or we execute you. And I have read news where they've done that in other countries, in Africa and in China and so many other places. And this was also being done in long time ago, especially during the Inquisition. They were told to recant, and the Bible says some were tortured, not accepting deliverance. In other words, there's many who realized and say, you know what? Go ahead and kill me if you want. I want a better resurrection. In other words, if they were killed, they were going to get the crown of life. If they recanted, then they would go free. But they will not that they would not be Christians anymore. They're Christians. The only thing is they would not get that crown. Now, not everybody gets to that point where they'll come in and tell you those things. And I hope it never comes to me either. I hope that I'll never have to be told either you recant or we're cutting your head off. And I just hope and pray that the Lord will give me that courage to go ahead and go ahead and die for the Lord. But I'm not looking forward to that. I don't want to go through that. But some people did, and they did not accept to be delivered. But on the other hand, it also goes on to say that others were tortured, when he says, implies that not all were. But they made it all the way to the end. And of course, we have many Old Testament saints that were not tortured. And just to give you a few, Noah wasn't. Abraham wasn't. Isaac wasn't. Jacob wasn't. Moses wasn't. But they were all faithful unto death. And what he says in here, also he says that all this having obtained a good report. Every single one of them. Even those that were never had to answer to that or had to be confronted with the question of you will die or recant. But they were faithful unto death, whether it tells you in here that some of them, they just wandered through the wilderness. Some wandered in the mountains. They were dressed in sheep's clothing. They went all over the place. They were just wandering around in caves. And how did they die? Well, probably old age. Probably heart attack. Who knows? The thing is that they were faithful unto death. And So this is what I see, that when you read the book of Revelation, "Be thou faithful unto death," could easily be applied to martyrs, but it could also might just meant or means that it's for those during the tribulation period, because they will be killed, they will be offered to recant, they will either take the mark or get their head chopped off, and that's how you become a saint during the tribulation. But now, I'd like to take you to the other verse. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. This is the other verse. It's only two verses that talk about the crown of life. And this is on verse 12. James, chapter 1, verse 12. Look what he says. "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." There's two things in here that stand out on this one. It had nothing to do with being tried with your life, that you had to endure it had nothing to do with death, but it has to do with a few other things. And the first one is endureth temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So this I see it as one of the essentials, or one of the requirements to get this crown of life. And of course it doesn't say which temptation. But when you read the Bible, you know the temptations that exist in the Bible. And the Bible does tell us, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, he said, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." So we're all tempted all the time, different things. The Bible calls it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is what he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. This is the things that will affect you. This is where all these temptations will come from. It'll come from your eyes, all the pornography and all the things that you see, all the things that you want, and the things of the flesh, and the pride of life. And when you put all those three, that's what we all struggle with. But I just want you to know that temptation, and that's why he says here that he that endures, blessed is the man that endures temptation, because temptation will knock you off. It'll knock you out of the race. Amen. And many Christians are knocked out of the race. Then, and of course, that's why the Apostle Paul says, "You lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us." So that the things of this world can beset you. The things of this world, you get involved in whatever thing that you're involved in, and some people that are Christians, they get involved in so many things in this life, they don't have time for God. They don't have time to read the Bible. They don't have time to go and witness or go tell somebody about Jesus. They're too involved in whatever sport or whatever endeavor they like. And we can go down the list of thousands of things that people like to do, men and women. And the thing is that it sets you aside, and then you don't serve the Lord because you're too busy with the things of this world. The temptations of this life have put you aside. But then it also says God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He says that He will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. So God will allow you to escape. He will allow you to bear it. He will allow you to get out of the snare. He will allow you to get out of your problems where you made wrong decisions. God always allows you a way to come out. The problem is, many people don't want to come out. They want to stay in the mire. They want to play in the pig pen. They want to stay in the things that are wrong. It's because it's fun, because it's a pleasure. But you have to be like Moses. He knew that that pleasure was only for a short time. And that's why it's so important, he that endures temptation, because the ones that are knocked out of the race didn't endure. They got knocked off. And it's not that God tempted you, because God doesn't tempt anybody. But it's of your own sin, and then you go on into your sin, and then when sin is conceived, then comes death. The thing is that many Christians, just like the prodigal son, they like to go and spin everything and do everything, and the next thing you know, you're playing in the pig pen and you're enjoying what you're doing, and the only reason you come back is because you ran out of money. The only reason you come back is because you got sick and you need mom and dad. The only reason you come back is because that somebody ran you off, but you wanted to stay. That's how most people are. They don't come back to church. They don't come back to the Lord. Once they leave, they want to stay out as long as things are going their way. But the thing is that they're not going to get the crown of life. They got saved and they got knocked off by temptations. They didn't endure the trials and wind up back in the world. And that's why he says, on Revelation 2:10, that you shall have tribulations and you will be tried. All Christians are tried. But then we see the apostles, the examples that they give us when they were tried, like the apostles in Acts chapter 5, after they whipped them and beat on them, then they sent them home. They went away. The Bible says that they rejoiced because they had been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. And that's how the real Christian needs to be. When you go through troubles, when people revile you, when people tell you things or throw you in jail or beat you up, and I'm not talking about getting beat up because they caught you stealing, or getting beat up because you got thrown in jail and some other drunk beat you up. I'm talking about getting beat up for the name of Jesus, getting rebuked, getting people throwing rocks or whatever they do to Christians, and I can mention a lot of things. You ought to come out of there rejoicing that you were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord. In other words, you will be tried and you will be tempted. But that's why it says in James, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Now tried, we all going to be tried at the judgment seat of Christ. And when you get tried and you had endured, you receive the crown of life. Also, he can be said, for when he is tried, that means when you're tried in this life, the problems that you go through in this life, you're going to earn the crown of life. But it also tells you, the Apostle Paul, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Many times, this is what drives people back to the world. They say, you know what, I wasn't counting on this. I just wanted to receive. I just wanted to get the blessings. I just wanted to go to heaven. I didn't want to go to hell, but I didn't count on putting my neck out. I didn't count on having to do things for the Lord and then having to suffer. But here's the third requirement to get the crown of life. And it's in the same verse. Let me read it all over again. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. He promised it to them that love Him. Now notice that James is not talking anything about being killed. In the book of Revelation, it does talk about that, and those will get it because they endured all the way to the end. The Bible also tells you in Revelation 12 that they loved not their life unto death. They loved the Lord. And they gave their life for the Lord. They chose the Lord. They were beheaded for the Lord. They never quit. They didn't turn back. That's why they met all the requirements. They got it. But for us, we're not being killed. But let me just tell you that you can also get it. According to James, he's not saying anything here about you had to be killed. But he's talking about two different things. First of all, you have to endure temptations. The Revelation saints, they endure temptations. You have to endure temptations. You can't be sliding back. You can't go back to the world. You can't go back to the things that you used to do. And then the last thing is what he says here, that he has promised them to them that love him. And this just puts it right at our doorsteps. This is something that you can also receive. I had always said, I don't want nothing to do with this crime because I don't want to be killed. But now that I've read it and I look at it differently, for the saints in the book of Revelation, they will get it. They are being faithful all the way to the end and they're not falling back. They are not recanting. But for us, that we're not going through that right now, and maybe we will later on, but right now we're not. You can also get it if you fulfill these requirements. According to James, you endure temptations. In other words, you don't go back to the world. But then here is the biggest test. He says that the Lord has promised them to them that love Him. And this is where a lot of people fall off the track. This is where many Christians, even though you've been told over and over and over to love the Lord, this is where so many fall off. And I'd like to read to you and go with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And let me touch on this. On the promise that He will give you the crown of life to them that love Him. Jesus says on Matthew 22 verse 37. Jesus says unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, we are commanded. This is the greatest commandment. This is the first commandment. And this is the commandment also that will guarantee you the crown of life. And it's a shame that many people will not. The first church was rebuked because they had lost their first love. God rebuked them. He said, you need to return back to your first love. And that's the tendency of all of us. We get saved and we're on fire for the Lord. We want to do everything for God. We want to witness to everybody and all our neighbors and our friends and relatives. You cannot get enough of the Bible. You read it day and night and everywhere you have a chance. But then all of a sudden, your fire begins to flicker. You begin to give up. You go back to the old ways. And you get tired. And this is normal. And of course, God says, no, you're supposed to love me. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. Now, the question is, do you love the Lord Jesus? Have you taken the Bible test? The Bible has a test for everything. Like, if you want, you're saved, the Bible gives you a test on that. He also gives you a test on whether you love the Lord or not. Let me read it to you in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hated his brother, he's a liar. So the first thing you need to examine yourself, do you hate a brother? Do you hate a sister? Is there somebody that you just can't forgive? Because if you do, don't be saying that you love God. If you can't love somebody that you can see, how can you love God whom you can't? That's what the Bible tells you. Not only that, but God says, you're a liar. You can't love me if you can't love your brother. That's why he says, if a man say, I love God and hated his brother, he is a liar. Now, let me give you the other test. 1 John 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Do you keep his commandments? Well, one of it is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And I know some people will say, well, I don't think you can, but that's what God tells you. And if he tells you, apparently you can. And I remember that I used to. And I know that, you know, many times I say, I just don't love the Lord the way I did. And But I'm constantly rebuking myself. I'm constantly trying to encourage myself. But the Bible does say in John 14, 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. But he gives you quite a bit. He tells you, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Teach them what I've taught you. Give it to faithful men. And thousands of other things that he tells us. Many Christians could care less what God says. Whatever they think, whatever feels good, that's what they go with. But you know the last thing is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. Let me read to you what it says. It says, if any man love not the Lord, let him be anathema. This is hard. If any man love not the Lord, let him be anathema. Anathema means cursed. Let him be cursed. If you don't love God, let him be cursed. That's what Paul is saying right here. So it's extremely important that we love the Lord. But if you love the Lord, I just want to let you know, and if you don't fall back, and if you endure the temptations of this world, and you go all the way until the Lord takes you home, whether it's a heart attack or a train attack or whatever attack you get, if you just keep on going until the Lord calls you home, until you're not breathing anymore, you endure to the end, James says you'll get the crown of life. And of course, all the time serving the Lord, loving the Lord. And how do you love the Lord? Keep his commandments. He goes on to say, if any man love me, he will keep my words. So, the commandments, you might say, well, that's, you know, I don't know all the commandments. Just keep his word. All the word. Whatever he says. It don't matter what man says. What matters is what God says. Keep his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So, beloved, this is a crown that you can attain. Let's go for that crown of life. Praise the Lord Jesus.